coming up in a few months. We're planning for a few mission trips, and Al is coming up again to share about Honduras and to encourage you to pray about, think about, and also maybe to step into this mission that God has for you. So I'm going to have him share on Honduras.
Good morning. I want to tell you about two opportunities for international missions. The first one is going to Ecuador. The dates for that are April 20th to April 29th, and that is the Karachis. And they'll be here next week to speak on that missions trip to see if that is something that you're interested in. The one I'm here to talk about is going to Honduras. That's going to be from April 30th until May 10th. A couple thoughts that the Lord has put on my heart is truly this type of missions trip is a calling, no matter what it may be, whether it's just something that you kind of, it's a bucket list type of thing, or if you really feel that you're being called to go to Honduras, it doesn't matter, because what you're going to find out when you get there, it's not what you thought. It never is. It always changes, because what you're using is your brain and not depending upon the Lord to see what type of trip what he's going to show you while you're on your missions trip. As far as the physical labor goes, we find something that everybody can do. Everybody finds a niche. It's never anything more than what you can do. So a lot of people, because of their age, may think, well, I can't go on a missions trip because I'm just too old, or I can't do the work. Well, that's not true. Okay, we'll always find something. And it's not about the project, okay? That is not the main reason that we go on missions trips. And I guarantee you're going to hear that over and over again, that it's not about the build. It's part of it, okay, but it's not the reason that the people go. and it doesn't matter where you are on your walk with the Lord. When I went on my first missions trip, I was not a Christian, okay? But I felt that there was a reason that I needed to go, okay? And so I went. It's been an amazing experience over these last couple years. I don't know if you remember, years ago there was a commercial from MasterCard. And what they said at the end is priceless, and that's what missions work is. It's often very priceless to go on a missions trip. Romans 12 tells us to take our everyday life, going to soccer practice, I'm putting this in there, going to baseball practice, going to wherever you're doing or whatever you may be doing, and sacrifice that to the Lord. And sometimes that is your time, okay? Because what I'm asking you to do on going on these trips is taking two weeks of your life and sacrificing that for the Lord, okay? I'm asking you to take your personal money and sacrifice that to the Lord. Leave your family and sacrifice that to the Lord. So there's a lot of sacrifice that goes into going on a missions trip. So when you do this, understand you're giving it back to the Lord, okay, in a very special, special way. What Romans 12 also says, it will transform you. And so many times that's what happens when people go on missions trip, is they are transformed. I've always heard a lot of reasons why people can't go on missions trip, but I would like you to think about why you can go on a missions trip. You know, do you have the time? Do you have the money? Do you have the energy? So instead of thinking negatively, please think positively about not just this trip, but any type of missions work. Next two weekends, we'll be out in the lobby. We'll be signing people up, seeing if they're interested in going to Honduras or to Ecuador. There's also going to be a list there for people who would like to help out. I understand that not everybody can go on missions trips, okay? But if you can help out the missions team, there's a sign-up sheet. We would get a hold of you when we had an event, or if we need to let you know about something, to help out the missions team, because we're just kind of starting this back up again. There will be an informational meeting for the Honduras trip. It's going to be on October 15th. It's going to be here at the church at 2 o'clock. I know it's on a Sunday, but I find that's the time that most of the people can come to this type of a meeting. So we will be there. I will be there to answer your questions. When you go out front there to sign up, there will be an informational sheet that I will give you, answer some of your questions, and help you if you have any other questions you need to ask. Please don't hesitate to ask. So thank you very much.
I know as you're listening to Al talk about Honduras, you're like, your excuses are going, right? I mean, that's how it usually works. But I don't have the time. I don't have the money. Can I just tell you, as we're talking about this journey from here to there, the question about Honduras is really not about your time or your money. The question is God asking you to go? If God's asking you to go, you just say yes, and God will work out the details. And so maybe this morning what you need to seek God for is, does he want you to go to Honduras or Ecuador next year? And if so, just take the next natural step. What's the next step? Talk to Al. And you can tell him his questions. He'll answer them. He'll be honest with you. He'll be like, everyone that's ever set on journey to go has had the money show up. And it's actually a God journey. You know, everyone who's ever responded to the call has been able to go time-wise. Just take the next natural step. We have on your seats this morning is a napkin. And there's nothing obviously special about this napkin, but it's going to be special this morning. I don't know how you guys, I mean, I guess I know how you use napkins, but sometimes you go into a diner, you go into a restaurant, and you have no paper. You don't have your phone with you. And what you end up doing is, if you're with a few friends, you may doodle on the napkin. You make your grocery list on the napkin. This morning, what I want to do is use this napkin, and I hope that you'll have this napkin for a long time, of where you are going. Where's your there? We're going from here to there. My question this morning is, where's there for you? For most of you, if I ask you to write that down right now, where's your there? Where are you going? Where are you heading? Where's God taking you? Your napkin would look like this. I have no idea where God is, where I'm going, let me change it. What if I ask you to write down where your there is right now? Does that make sense? Like, where are you? Let me change it this morning, right now, over a town, Corning, is the Wine Glass Marathon. I'm taking it that you're here, that you're not a big fan of running. That's just my guess this morning. The idea of the Wine Glass, if you don't know what it is, the Wine Glass is the 7,000 people who converge on Corning, who will eventually take a bus to Campbell or to Bath, and they'll run for 13.1 or 26.2 miles to Corning. People spend lots of money to run 13.1 or 26.2 miles this morning. They bought their registration fee. They got their free T-shirt. They're wearing their bib. But you know it's more than that, right? They have bought shoes for this race. They have bought the right tight shorts, you know, just short enough where they – you know, just short enough, and they have the right shirt, and they've booked their hotel. They are going on a journey from here to there. They're getting from one spot, and I can tell you this. I can pretty much guarantee you, they are focused this morning. They have one goal. They know they're going to face hard times. They know that they're going to face the wall. They're going to be tired. They might have some pain in their side. They'll be dehydrated. They might have some reasons they want to quit. Their mind will be playing games with them. They have all these reasons, but they have one thing on their napkin this morning. They have one goal this morning, to run the Wine Glass Marathon. And I was thinking about it. Why? If I'm going from Campbell to Corning, just drive, right? I mean, isn't that the natural inclination for all of us? If I really wanted to do that, I can just drive it. I could be there in like 10 minutes. I mean, if you're looking at easy, you know, we're all wanting the easy life. I'm just guessing that running 26.2 miles is not that easy. Well, some of us are like, well, that's crazy. It's difficult. You know, they have trained hours to get to this point of run. They spent the last 3 to 6 months preparing for this race today. Think about the time they've spent in this. Maybe they just like to run. I guess that's a possibility. I mean, I don't, but I'm just, this is this morning. Let me read a verse to you. It says this, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. If you're on the men's weekend, you have noticed this verse. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. the writer of Hebrews has spent 11 chapters talking about this race that we're running, this here to there journey, and he says to them, he says to the people he's writing to, listen to me. In fact, chapter 11 is all these men and women who have run the race. Like, their napkin was amazing. They went after big things. They went after crazy. They went after God things. And he's saying, because of those people and because of what God's doing in your life, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run to there with all we have. Let us get rid of all the other junk, all the other things that are getting in the way. Let's do one thing with perseverance. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything cut in. Let's go after the race marked out for you. Do you get that little phrase marked out for you? That Christ has marked a race out for us, for each of us. Your race is not the same as my race. You're not running the same marathon as me, but you're called to run a race. You're called to a there. And my fear is that most of us are running our race around in a circle. We're not getting anywhere. We are giving our lives to something that does not matter, that will not count for anything, that the call of God in our life we have heard, or we may have heard in a message, but in reality, we just want to survive life. And the question becomes, do you want to give your life to something that's got, like, I understand running the marathon, I get it, and God would be pleased with that, but if that's all you did, that's all you pursued is running marathons, do you think when we get to heaven, but God's like, hey, I'm so glad that you ran that race, that 20, trained for it, do you think that, or does God have a bigger there for us than that? Remember our theme verse for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Jesus comes to the disciples and says, come, follow me, and here's the phrase, and I will make you fishers of men. Come, follow me. Choose my leadership, and I'm going to do something with you, and I'm going to write something on your napkin. I'm going to give you, this is the word that we use, a calling on your life. Like this voice that says, this is what I have for you. Now, I'll preface this by saying that my napkin has changed a couple times. God has led me to a certain place, and I thought that was my napkin, and it was. And God says, by the way, that's a stopping point to the next napkin, to the next napkin, to the next napkin. So I've had multiple napkins, all God's voice, all God's calling, and I just want to know what's on your napkin today. What are you pursuing? And I want to give you really just two things, even though there's more that we need to write on our napkin, just two things this morning that I want you to really consider as the thing, the there. If you're running, run this race with perseverance. Run this direction. And number one is this. It's going back to that phrase, come follow me. Our goal is to do life with Jesus. That's just not the how we get there. That's a lot of where we're going. You know, I know you have a picture of heaven. I don't know what it is. You know, maybe it's the violin or the harps. You know, you're walking around in a white robe. You're like sitting down and singing Kumbaya for hours on hours on end. But I want to tell you what heaven's like. John 17:3 says this. Now this is eternal life. This is heaven. This is what God created us for. This is what's on our napkin. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You know what heaven's going to be like? This kind of relationship, this depth of relationship with Jesus, with his Father. Like when we get to heaven, it's like this big reunion family fun type of relationship with God. The main thing of heaven, the main thing, our end goal is knowing him, walking with him, having intimacy with him. And if anything else becomes the main goal, you're missing it. Let me just put it this way. I said this a few months. Coming out of sabbatical, I said it's not what we did, it's who I did it with. It's not, truthfully, a lot of times, it's not just about where we're going, it's about who I'm going there with. And we can go, we can have this great big napkin. You know, Bill Gates has had a big napkin. There's some great CEOs who've had big napkins. They had some big vision. You know, I'm talking about vision that we can't even put our mind around. And all I'm saying is they went there without Jesus, so they're missing something. If you're it's got to be on the napkin. Like, I want to follow Jesus. I want Jesus to be first place in my life, because he's the only one that knows how to get there. He knows where he wants to take us. Let me just give you the second part. As we follow Jesus, he will speak a calling into our life. He will say, this is what I have designed you for. Look at Acts verse chapter 13. I'm going to start in verse chapter 12. It says this. You're not going to see this on the screen, so you're going to have to follow along. When Barnabas and Saul, who was Paul, finished their mission, their calling, their napkin for that period of time, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, and there's a list of them. And it says this in verse 2. This is what you're going to see on the screen. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hand on them and sent them off. I think that's true of all of us. Like, he has set you apart. That's what the calling is. He has chosen you for something. And it says, hey, look at Barnabas, look at Saul. I want you to pray over them. I want you to commission them. I want you to send them to the calling that I have for them. And so go do what I have called you to do. And that's what he desires for us. And so again, we go back to the question, what is God calling you to do? Here's another verse, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Therefore, go make disciples. I mean, if you really want to know big picture what we're called to do, we're called to make disciples. We're called to reach and develop people. A few months ago, I was at a conference. And they were the ones, actually, I'm stealing this from them. They gave us all napkins. Not expensive napkins, just kind of like this. And they spent the whole conference saying, what's your dream? What's your calling? Even people who have experienced, even people in ministry can lose their dream. They can start going through the motions. They can just kind of survive the week. It's very easy to downsize what you're doing to make it manageable, to make it like, let's just go. And they kept coming back, what's your dream? What's your dream? And so as I was flying back, I was kind of thinking through my dream of what God had called me to. And it's kind of I'm not a fruit and vegetable person necessarily, but the apple is really what God drew me to. And these are actual apples from our trees out back of my house. And they all look a little different. And first, I think I realized this. There's two things you can do with an apple, right? You can consume it, or you can invest it. You know what a consuming it, right? That's what we do with apples. We eat the apple. The apple is eaten, and we throw it away, and it's gone. But my napkin, my dream, what I believe God has called me to, and this is probably true of everybody, but listen, follow along. To invest, that's my word for the year, by the way, for my one word, invest my life, which means I have to put it in the ground, I have to sacrifice some things, I have to give up what I want, I have to pursue what he wants, I need to lay it down. And what happens when you invest in an apple, what happens? A tree forms, right? Hopefully. And it starts small, there's no like, it doesn't happen right away, it's not a fast process. We have some apple trees out there near the road. You probably didn't even notice them coming in today. They're not very big right now. They're very small. And that's my life. That's how I've always felt. I felt like this small little person who can't really go after much. All right. And yet, when I plant my life in this calling to follow Jesus Christ, what will happen is eventually other fruit will form. True? An apple has the potential to produce hundreds and hundreds of apples. And by God's grace, hopefully I get to experience some of it. But that's not where my dream stopped. My dream, what God has put on my napkin is to plant my life in the ground and allow the fruit that God has put on my tree, the people that I have hopefully poured into, God used me in some way to invest in, that those people will invest their life so that they become trees themselves. It could be in the work environment. It could be in a church, starting a church. It could be starting a ministry. It could be starting a car fixing cars for single people. They go after their calling. They go after their napkin. But I'm a catalyst, hopefully, is what my dream is, to help people live out their calling in their life. That's the calling of the church. The calling of the church is for us not to consume, but to invest so that we bear more fruit. Correct? And so that's not my end goal either. That's still not my napkin. My napkin is that those people who I invest in and who plant their seed in the ground, who become a tree, will have fruit that flows from them, and then they kind of have an orchard flowing off of them. Do you get where I'm going? Make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. That I will spend my life investing in you and others who will do crazy things. That I will help people develop their napkin. I'm hoping I'm kind of casting some seed out to you today. Like, have something. What's your calling? What has God put on your heart to do? What is God stirring you? Don't settle for just going through the motions of life and consuming your money and consuming your time and consuming all your just going. Don't settle for consumption. Consumption leaves you with nothing at the end. Investment lets you expand and grow and see something. God do something amazing. Because I'm going to tell you this: our napkin, whatever you write down, probably is smaller than what God has planned for you. Because we tend to write down what we think we can do. But this is not really about what we can do. It's about what God can do through you. I'm going to invite someone else to come up. Jeremy's going to come up and share. He went to the same conference, and we've been talking for a while. And I think it'll be good for you to hear how God has changed napkins and is doing something in Jeremy's life as well.
So I first want to say this. I'm one of Pastor Mike's apples. Okay, he discipled me. And this is why it's so cool to go through this process. So see, what he said about calling changing, I was that guy that came out of college saying, you know what, I'm going to be a youth pastor, I'm 70 years old. I'm going to be that guy that's like 70 years old, still running, still climbing the rock wall, still doing all that stuff. And that's what I was planning on doing. That's what God called me to do. As I kept going through the process, kept learning and growing in Christ, ended up back down here in Elmira. You know, for the last 6 years, I was part-time youth pastor here, and then last year, came on full-time as pastor, associate pastor here at Higher Hope. I also went on this journey with Pastor Mike to Exponential down in Orlando, and I wrote on a napkin. And the cool thing about this napkin thing was you really sat down and just really spent time with God. And I sat down and I started praying, you know, God, what do you really have for me? What's that calling you have on my life? You know, I don't want to just leave it as I'm just the youth guy, an associate pastor at Higher Hope. Is there something bigger? Is there something else that you have that you want me to start working towards? And he gave me this concept. And you can't see my napkin. I can show it to you later if you want to see it. But in the middle of this napkin, I have a big circle that says mentor. You see, through my life, doing DSS work also full-time, I was working with kids and families needing mentors. And the concept I have is this circle being a middle circle of mentoring. So coming with Christians, forming this whole mentor thing, a program that would work reach people in Elmira by having families come together to mentor other families. In other words, you're not teaching them, you're showing them. In other words, you're going to have mentors impacting the city of Elmira, the families of Elmira, the church of Elmira, the community of Elmira, the homes, the school. And how that would work, God gave me this vision of having like groups that say, you know what, I'm willing to take some families here, and I'm willing to show them how to have a sit-down family meal. In other words, I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to invite them to my house. And instead of teaching them how to parent, I'm going to show them by saying, hey, how was your day, son? And then let that person see, wow, okay, how was your day? And you start showing by modeling. And I could just see how the impact we could make as Christians if we had this kind of mentoring program where we didn't just focus on the kids separate from the parents and the parents separate from the kids, but we focus on families mentoring families with a Christian base. And so that's something I came back with. I talked to Pastor Mike, said, you know, this is my passion. You know, I love Elmira. I want to reach the people that are hurt in Elmira. And we started talking more about this. And then I ended up coming across Transformation Center, which is in Elmira. If you've ever heard of that, it's on West Church Street. It's a community center base. It has an after-school program. It has a food program as well. They serve people food on Thursdays and Saturdays. A lot of the ideas they have to run from there. And as I talked to the person that runs the Transformation Center, the first thing that person said to me was, we want to do mentoring. I'm like, okay, God, this is kind of coincidental here, maybe. No, I'm betting it's not, because God doesn't do that, right? He puts people there for a reason. And as I met with them, talked to Pastor Mike about, you know what? God's also been leading me this concept of Exponential is not just about this napkin. It's about we want to reach people for Christ, but we can't do it by just always adding here. This building only holds so many people, right? We have to do it by multiplying, which means at some point in time, that fruit that Pastor Mike plants may be called to go somewhere else to plant, to multiply. And I started having this thing of, I'm called to plant a church. So I started talking to the person who owns the Transformation Center about, can we do a church? Maybe next year. Let's just think down the road, okay? And what happens is, through meeting, Trish and I met with them several times. She's been a big part of this. You know, she's been at peace with this whole vision. And we started saying, you know, God, open the door or close the door. Show us this is what you want for us. So whether we go to the Transformation Center somewhere down the road, we didn't know time. Okay, we just said somewhere down the road, show us that. You know, and then we waited, you know, about a week, went to the Adirondacks, had a great time, came back with a messed up ankle. Pastor Mike calls me on Saturday and says, you know, the people with the Transformation Center called and they wanted you to come in for a meeting, but it was your day off and you know you're pretty sore, so I didn't know what it was. I said, come on in, I'll meet with you instead. And he said, what they wanted to call and talk to us about was, they wanted to say, we want to give Higher Hope the Transformation Center, this building, for free. They wanted to give what's in the 503C, the amount of money still left in that, to us for nothing. Because the vision that I had and Pastor Mike have matches up with their vision. And God didn't just answer my prayer, God kicked the door wide open. And that's what God does. You see, now the leadership team has approved us to move forward on this. And I want to come to you today with a vision that God's given me real quick here. Basically, guys, let me tell you this part too. A couple weeks, you'll hear a lot more. Okay, I'm going to give you the vision that God's given me for the Transformation Center. It should be on the screen here in a second. So the vision that I have for this is to see whole life transformation by meeting people's spiritual, physical, and emotional needs. This is coming straight from Isaiah chapter 58. I'll be preaching on that in a couple Sundays from here. If you haven't read it, read it. But God is calling me and my wife, Trisha, to plant a church. And what's going to happen is we thought it was just going to be a mentoring thing, right? And maybe next year we'd be able to plant a church. God said, you know what? I got a different plan. Again, remember how Pastor Mike just said, this is sometimes smaller? God said, you know what? I got a bigger thing for you. You're going to go to this Transformation Center. You're going to start being the director. You're going to start building relationships with people through the food, through the after-school program. You're going to start loving on them. You're going to start showing them exactly what they need, which is someone that's going to serve them as Christ loved and served us. And then as we build on that, we're going to plant a church in Elmira. And this is the vision that God's given me. This is the calling. This is the napkin I started with. Obviously, I need to update it. It's not updated. But again, you'll hear more about this as we go forward. And you know, Trish and I know this is a big step. This is not going to be an easy step. This is going to be hard at times. This is going to be difficult at times. But if God is for it, who can be against it? And this is truly God. And that's what I want to leave you guys with today.
You know, the truth is, it's funny how God works things out, because from day one, if you have known this church, if you've known me, if you've heard me preach from probably the 11 years ago, I've been praying and asking God for us to do ministry in Elmira at some point. And so, you know, sometimes our napkin takes a while to get to. Like, God's preparing us. God says, I will make you. And sometimes the napkin doesn't come tomorrow. Sometimes the napkin comes 10 years later. But you keep praying. You keep moving. You persevere. You know, the marathon does not happen in 5 minutes. You have to run the race marked out for you. You have to go after it. You're going to have to go through some tough things. And to see God move in a way that I think will transform more lives is unbelievable, that God would even think of us that way. Let me just give you the church napkin before we close. I'm going to have the worship team come up. You know what? We we've sat down with the elders and just been praying over what's our church napkin? What are we about as a church? What is our end goal? What are we pursuing? And this is really goes down to two things. One is this. You know, over the last 10 years, we have reached and impacted about 400 people, more than that, but 400 in attendance. What would it look like for us to move the needle in the southern tier to 4,000? 400 to 4,000. What would that look like? You know, can you do the math on that? That doesn't fit in here. We don't want it to fit in here. 4,000 people is a whole, that's like feeding the 5,000. You know, that's way too many. What would it look like for our church to move the needle in the southern tier? I'm talking about moving the needle, not just transfer people moving from here to there from another church. I'm talking about moving the needle of people who know Christ from 400 to 4,000. This is the way we do it. We have to move the needle of people who are living on mission, who are living out their napkin, from 100 to 1,000. We want to develop 1,000 people who understand that they're missionaries, that they have a mission, they have a calling, they have a direction, and that they're pursuing that. We're preparing them to pursue that. And it may mean leaving the church. It may be kicking people out of the church to go pursue it. But that's the calling that God has left the church. Go make disciples. 400 to 4,000. And the numbers don't really matter, but the questions do. How do we do that? 100 to 1,000? We don't even have 100,000 people, 1,000 people in our church right now. How do we develop 1,000 people to live out their calling? We don't have the answer. We have a napkin. As we follow Jesus Christ, he will make us live out our calling. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look at what you have designed us for, as we look at our napkin, that we won't be consumers and eat up all the blessings that you put in our life and it'll be it all about us, but that we'll raise up people and we'll live out our calling in such a way to see you do amazing things in our lives. I pray that we raise up our kids, our young people in high five right now, that we don't cast a vision for them that is too small and Christianity, but it is a vision of life-changing, radical following of you. That we give them, that we let them see their calling. We look at the nursery, these babies that you have. God, I pray that we'll raise up men and women of those in the nursery that will live out their calling. God, I pray that the people in this room will take this empty napkin and dream. Not dream their dreams, but dream your dreams, that they'll live out their calling. God, do amazing things in our midst. In Jesus' name.